Good morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today you'll be listening to Search for Tomorrow, or How to Relate 4 Years of College to Finding a Job. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for George Mason University. This May, thousands of college graduates will be pouring out from universities all over the country seeking the ever more elusive job. College students today are becoming more realistic, more aware that at the end of 4 years, they will have to be earning a living. So they're looking at college programs to see what kind of marketable skills they can learn. College administrators are becoming more responsive to this need. George Mason University has published for the first time a book which details not only the academic benefits of different programs, but also what actual skills a student will learn taking the courses. Here to tell us more about this idea are Patricia Carretta, Director of GMU's Career Services, and Sarah Looney, Director of the Academic Advising Center at George Mason University. Sarah, this book seems like a terrific idea. What made you think it was needed?
It was actually a serendipitous happening. I think that Pat's office, the people in career services, were as aware of the need as we were in the advising center. We began to see people who wanted to know more than just what was required to get a major in a particular area. They wanted to know, what do I do with that major? How can I market it? So we combined the expertise of the two offices with career services, knowing that type of information, with the advising center being familiar with the structure of the academic programs, to try to be more responsive to what students were really asking for in both offices.
What does it actually tell a student?
There is a wealth of information in the book. It describes not only the academic program, but also what type of skills might be learned in classes in a particular major, what type of skills might be learned in courses outside of that major, and what students might take in one major and draw from other areas of the college to increase their employability, the things that they could actually tell to an employer and say, I'm good not only at this, but also at the following things that I've learned in other areas.
So an art student, for example, having majored in art, what kinds of opportunities would be available for him? What would the student be able to get from this book?
The student might go to the book and find out that there are some history courses, some literature courses, perhaps even some science courses that could make him be a better artist. So he would find out what he or she might be able to look at in other fields in the college. They can also look into the book to find what you do after graduation with a career in art, what professional school or graduate school opportunities are available, how some of the George Mason graduates in art have found employment. It's a good index. I think it's a good way for students to start to look at majors. It's also good at the tail end when they start to look for employment after having decided on a specific major.
Do you think there is a real difference between what students expect to get out of a college education now and what they wanted, say, in the 1950s?
A huge difference from my perspective. Having been a child of the 50s, I remember following very much what I was told, that I was going to turn into a wonderfully well-educated person with all of this background. And I was not really very concerned about the job market, because at that time, if you had a college degree, there was a job waiting for you. Students now know that those jobs are scarce, so they're looking for marketable skills, and they want to learn that in the course of becoming a well-educated person.
Are 18-year-olds really more aware of the need for a practical application for their degree?
Very aware.
How so?
I would say that almost every student that comes into the Advising Center is asking questions about what good is this going to do me. They've been forced to take a very practical attitude toward education, because having a college degree is not enough now. There are unemployed persons with college degrees. So they've had to become more practical, to think in terms of what types of jobs they'll be suited for after earning a degree.
Pat, what about the graduating seniors? How do things look for them this year?
Well, the job market, as I'm sure most people are well aware today, is a very tight market to be entering. The unemployment in the Northern Virginia and Virginia area is not as severe as it is in many other parts of the country. However, when you look at the nature of our employment sector, you can see how we have been affected in some negative ways. The government reductions have affected our graduating seniors. So government jobs, both at the not only at the federal level, but also at the state and local level, those jobs are drying up somewhat. We have a large service-oriented industry in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and many of them have been affected by the current job market, high interest rates and so on. The construction industry is affecting real estate, savings and loan mortgage firms, and all the organizations that support the home buying, the better and higher living that we experience in this area. We are probably the major area in the country for trade and professional associations. And nonprofit organizations are really feeling the pinch of less money available through federal sources, through foundations, and so on. So students, unless they are in highly technical disciplines, are going to face a much tighter job market and going to be job hunting for much longer time. Hmm.
I know that government cutbacks are really affecting the older person looking for a job, but were they also a major employer of new college graduates?
Yes, they have been, and for a number of years had been a major goal of many of our new graduating students. Many of them have come from families where a majority of the family has worked with the federal government. So they know it and they see it as a very major employer. The federal government has been a major source of employment for many students in the liberal arts. And so it is especially unfortunate that the areas that have experienced the reduction have been areas that had employed sociology majors, psychology majors, English majors, writers and editors, positions that didn't require a highly technical or specialized background. And it's opportunities for employment for these students outside of the government is certainly much less.
Sarah, this is a question that I will direct at you. What do you think will become of the liberal arts as we move into a time, an era, where graduates will have to have more of a technical knowledge than liberal arts background?
I'm perhaps speaking from my own bias. I don't think the liberal arts will ever die. I think they have to be the undergirding, the soul, perhaps, of undergraduate education, because the liberal arts, I think, have been traditionally what we've said makes us free intellectually, politically, aesthetically, and emotionally. And as long as we're looking for personal growth, then there'll continue to be a market for students to have a broadly based education as well as a technical specialized education. I think employers are looking for that too.
And I concur with that, Sarah. It's an issue that comes up every time I'm in a gathering of employers and career counselors. And as I listen to employers, they recognize certain skills that traditionally have been found in the liberal arts students as skills that are lacking in many of the highly technical or specially trained people. They need engineers who can write, who can communicate, who can see the whole and not just the parts, whose conceptual skills and problem-solving skills go beyond simply an engineering type of problem. They need people at mid-level management positions who again, can see the whole, who can deal with a variety of issues and problems that go beyond narrow specializations. The need is there. I think what they're looking for in our arts and sciences students are students with those abilities, those analytical skills, those planning skills, problem-solving, communication skills, who also have perhaps a sense of the real world, who through their part-time experiences, cooperative education, internships, get out there and get some real hands-on practical skills and can come in with their feet on the ground, ready to learn and eager to learn. And move within an organization. Our students' expectations have to be very realistic, but I think there's certainly a market for them, at least the student who tries to combine that liberal arts education with some outside activities and good selection of electives. And vice versa, the specialized person needs those liberal art course background.
Michelle, that's another way that a student might use this book. I think that a large portion of the book is addressed to information that will help a student learn how to market himself or herself in terms of the totality of a bachelor's degree experience.
And the other thing we need to keep in mind is that our education doesn't end with that bachelor's degree. There are many fine professional schools and graduate school programs that will provide the English major with the theory and application skills to enter a profession that is totally unrelated to an English major. And I think that's a very appropriate career path for many of our students.
Pat, your office gives a really comprehensive series on how to get a job. Is there any one skill that is more important than all others when job hunting?
Oh boy, that is a difficult question to answer because there are a number of skills that are especially important. But I think in today's job market, I think the skill that may get the student furthest along in the job hunt is that ability to perhaps analyze and reflect. Analyze themselves to pick out the skills and strengths that they have to offer, and analyze the market to determine the types of employers or organizations where that skill is needed. Obviously, they're going to have to be able to communicate, and that would be my number two skill. They have to be able to market themselves in writing through the resume and cover letter. Obviously, the oral communication skills are very important in the interview. You're not going to be hired based on your writing skills. You're going to be hired on how well you come across and can convince an employer in the interview that you've got those skills. And our workshops are designed to teach some of that. The interviewing workshop is a very hands-on, skill-oriented workshop where students actually have a chance to practice their interviewing and get feedback from their peers and staff member. The resume writing is a very much a how-to kind of thing. There are those two skills, analyzing and communicating, that are critical, but there are certainly many others. We don't have time to go into them today.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Jean Hyde. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.